Hello, Miami. Hey, welcome to the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. We are located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street near the Tamiami Airport Complex in Kendall. I want to invite you now to come and join our lead pastor, Dennis Penton, as he brings another life-transforming message from God's Word.
Amen. Sounded good. Yeah, one person back there is excited. I liked it. Amen. Amen. So glad to be with you guys once again. We are, look at the person next to you and say, don't be afraid. Because I know that the temptation is that when you look at that bulletin and you look at the sermon, the teaching section, you're going to see four pages of notes and you're saying, oh man, fasten your seatbelts. We are in for just a marathon session. No, that's not the case. So I want you to not be afraid. In fact, the notes that you have there really cover 3 weeks worth of material. It's the same outline that we'll use for the final, for our final teaching. And we started a teaching last week on how to make smart choices, smart decisions. Do you know, we probably should get some more young people in here for this series, but okay. I didn't think it through. Yes, sir. I'm glad you're here. Yeah, young people. Yeah, like you guys. Pay attention. All right. You may not think about this often, but the truth of the matter is that you are and your life is the sum of the choices that you make. You are where you are right now for the most part because of the decisions that you've made. You could make an argument that people that are successful and people that are not successful are where they are because of the choices that they've made. Now, today I'm not going to speak to you about business and I'm not going to talk to you how to be a success in business, but I do want to say that there are certain things that you can do in your life to set you up to succeed in whatever you do. And that's really the heart of what we're talking about today, how to make good choices. And we don't often think about this, but we realize that even a small little decision that you make can have far-reaching effects on the rest of your life. You might have come here one Sunday innocently just coming along because somebody invited you, not thinking, not knowing what you're going to expect. And it might be that all of a sudden on that Sunday, you surrendered your life to Christ. Bam, life change. Small little decision that you made all of a sudden has far-reaching implications. Why? Because the choices that you make in life matter, not just for the here and now, but often they go on into the future. The same could be said for bad choices. Sometimes you make a bad choice and it's with you for the rest of your life. It will plague you. Now, I was looking online at some of the most famous bad decisions. What are some bad decisions? Well, I ran across one that I thought was good. Western Union. You realize that Western Union passed up the opportunity to buy the telephone company. Bad decision. Bad decision, right? A company called Excite passed up the opportunity to buy Google for $750,000. Bad decision. You remember Ross Perot? How many of you guys remember Ross Perot? Okay, that third party candidate that ran back in the 90s. Ross Perot passed up the opportunity to buy Microsoft for what? $50 million. Microsoft, $50 million. Passed it up. Do you know that one of the most successful car companies, Toyota, they passed up the opportunity to hire a man called Soichiro Honda. Yes, the Mr. Honda. Mr. Honda went home, started building little mopeds. From mopeds, I don't know what else he built, but all of a sudden he's got tractors, he's got lawnmowers, he's got, you know, engines. All of a sudden, the rival company to Toyota is Honda, the man that Toyota refused to hire. Can you look at the person and say, bad decision? That was a bad decision. Any of you basketball fans? Where's Junior? Okay. Making good decisions and avoiding bad ones really comes down to one thing for us anyway. It comes down to knowing what is the truth. It begins with knowing the truth. There are so many factors that compete for our attention when it comes to making decisions. As we look and as we begin and to try to make better decisions with our life, we begin with the idea is that I need to make sure that my decisions are based on the truth. And the scripture we talked about last week was Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talked about two men, a foolish man, okay, and a wise man. He says, the wise man built his house upon the rock, okay, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the storms came and the wind blew and the waves crashed, okay, and problems came and circumstances arose, says the one that was based, the one whose house was built on the foundation of the rock, that withstood the tests. The one that was built on shifting sands, but I like it. Why? Because it gave me such a nice beach view. The one that built a house on the, because that's where sand is, where sand is on the beach. Okay, so probably picked it. They didn't really give him much thought. All of a sudden, it came to great ruin. Jesus said, one guy was dumb, one guy was smart. So today we want to be smart. How is it that we can be smart? How is it that we can make a smart choices? And I want you to turn with me to Psalm 19, I should say. And we're going to kind of outline some things, and I'm going to really just make a push for us today to make sure that when you make decisions, they come from God's word. And the reason I'm making an appeal for you to become a person that lets God's word become your guide is because God's word is trustworthy. God's word has stood the test of time. Last week we talked about pop culture. The problem with pop culture is never ever on the side of truth. Pop culture changes from one day to the next. One day you're a hero, the next day you're a zero. Okay? I mean, you know, you can look at it on the tabloids, you can look at it. I mean, it's insanity what pop culture tells you. And more than just insanity, the reason you know it's so unreliable is because it changes from one day to the next. What was good 10 years ago is no longer good today. What was unacceptable 10 years ago, all of a sudden is acceptable today. So this type of wishy-washiness, this type of instability, that's all that pop culture can offer. For you. So where do I go where I can get a rock solid idea that doesn't ever move with or change with the times? The only thing that never changes is God's word. And because it doesn't change, it means it's reliable. That means I can take it to the bank. That means that, you know, I can not only believe it, but I can find the security that when my life is built upon the principles and the instruction of it, I can find a certain level of safety. I can find a certain level of peace knowing that I'm doing things God's way, right? So here's what it says in Romans 3. It says, though everyone else in the world is a liar, God is true. You're going to have to answer the question either consciously or unconsciously. Okay, subconsciously, not unconsciously, subconsciously, unconscious. Okay, they knocked me out. You're going to have to answer the question. Everybody answers this question. Who's going to be the final authority in my life? Who's going to be the one that calls the shots? How am I going to base my decisions? Okay, everybody answers that question either directly or indirectly. And maybe you never even asked yourself that question until now. But I want to tell you that your life, the decisions that you make right now, are based on what the final authority in your life you think is. Most people say, well, I hope it's God. Some people think, you know, maybe not think beyond just the superficial and think, well, it's God. Some people never think it through. And really, most people make their decisions based on what they feel. This is what grandma told me. This is what my auntie told me. This is what so-and-so told me. And I'm telling you, you got to go a little bit deeper than that. And you have to understand there needs to be, there's going to be a final authority in your life. So you make the decision today. It's either going to be the Word of God or it's going to be the world. The Word or the world. Let every man be a liar, but let God be true. You're either going to listen to man or you're going to listen to God. And you need to make that decision. And that decision is what's going to be what motivates and what motivates your life in the decisions that you make from here on. Now, the other thing about the Word is that God's Word is the only unchangeable measure for your life. Here's what it says in Luke 21. It says, although all the heavens and the earth pass away, my words remain forever. God's Word has stood the test of time. Unlike all other opinions. And I'm going to tell you right now that what God's Word says is good, He said it 2,000 years ago. If it was good 2,000 years ago, it was good 500 years ago. It's good today. It'll be good 2,000 years from now. And if something God says is wrong or bad 2,000 years ago, guess what? Just because you have theologians or you have these doctors or you have these professors going against it, if God says it was wrong 2,000 years ago, it was wrong 500 years ago, it's wrong today, it'll be wrong 500 years from now as well. Because God's Word doesn't change. I must change. I must change according to its standards rather than I try to bend its standards to my views. Right? So God's Word is true. Look what it says in Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, the teachings of the Lord are perfect. They give new strength. The rules of the Lord can be trusted, and they make plain people wise. That means, listen, Pastor, I don't even know how to read. I had to quit school when I was 3 to help my mom and dad. That happens. But here's what God's Word is telling me. It says, education is, listen, the most important thing is not necessarily your education. Now, listen, kids, don't get an idea. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you go home and misquote what pastor says. You need to stay in school. You need to go to college. You need to get a degree, get a second degree, get a third degree even. I'm an advocate that you go get a terminal degree if it's all within your power to do so. Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not what this is saying. What this is saying is that even if you grew up perhaps in a culture where there was no education, really what makes you smart, what is when you subscribe to God's Word. So even though you may not know how to read, if you do things God's way, all of a sudden you'll be among the biblical elite. Right? Because it says it right there, the rules of the Lord can be trusted. They make plain people wise. Plain Jane, welcome to wisdom. Plain Joe, welcome to the world of intelligence. How is that? How do I get there? By subscribing to God's Word. Not only does it say that, but it says it gives me new strength. That means God's Word turns my life around. It gives me wisdom when I open my mind. Look at verse 8. It says, the orders of the Lord are right. They make people happy. What? How is it that rules can make me happy? Because rules gave me safety. Rules outline for me what's good, what's bad, what's desirable, and what isn't. So they make people happy. The commands of the Lord are pure. They light up the way. In other words, God's Word brings satisfaction, and God's Word helps me see things clearly. The society that we're in, all of a sudden, rules, values, morals, the waters are muddied. We can't tell anymore. You know, there's so many, there's transgender, there's same-sex marriage, there's legalized marijuana, there's you know, save the gorilla and kill the babies. And you got so many things. You got all our values are so screwed up and we don't know. Where do we get clarity from? Clarity doesn't come from the right wing. It doesn't come from the left wing. It comes from God's wing, the Word of God, right? So I have to go back to what God's Word says concerning the issue. Look at verse 9. It says, respect for the Lord is good. It will last forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are completely right. God's Word, what? It brings respect for God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You want to make good choices, it begins with the fear of God. How do you have a healthy respect, a healthy fear of God. How is that developed if it isn't through the revelation of God's word? God's word is what teaches me to fear God. Look at verse 10. It says, they are worth more than gold. They are sweeter than honey. Here's what he's saying. He's saying God's word is more valuable than the money in the world. The money in the world in Fort Knox, which I don't even know if Fort Knox has gold in it anymore. It used to. Okay. It's more valuable than gold. It's more valuable than food. So all of a sudden they tell you, if there's an emergency in your house, grab the most important papers, grab the insurance papers, grab your documents for the mortgage, grab all these things, put them in a safe place, put them in a fireproof place so you don't go through all this and run out of the house with all those important papers. Listen, or grab a can of food. Listen, the most important thing in your house is your Bible. More important than gold? Than your expensive jewelry? Than your phony Rolex? I'm sorry, I just was intrigued by phony Rolexes. I got scammed once in Chinatown in New York and bought a bunch of phony Rolexes. Okay. More important than any of that is God's word. So really, the key to making wise choices, it begins with a commitment to do things God's way rather than man's way. So you have to listen to God. Look at the person and say, you got to listen to God. That's what really it comes down to, doesn't it? Okay. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you five criteria to use to judge a good decision. I'm not going to give you all five today. I'm giving you one. I'm going to give you one criteria. So you go buy a car. You have a criteria for the car that you want to buy. Oh, I want a sports car, or I want, a fast car. Okay, that's the first criteria. I want a car that's good on mileage. Okay, I want a car that's within this budget. I want a car that's this color. I want a car within these years. Okay, you have a criteria that you use for buying a car. Same thing for your house. It has to fit within this budget. It has to be within this neighborhood. It has to be, it has to have this. It has to have a pool. It has to have a driveway. It has to have a garage. It has to have at least 3 bedrooms. Okay, you got a criteria for buying a house. So you have a girlfriend. You have a boyfriend. You have someone that you hope to marry. He's got to be a Christian. He's got to have a job. That's a good criteria. Come on, ladies, you missed a good part for an amen. Okay. Okay. He's got to have a job. Okay. You don't want a guy that doesn't have a job, right? And so you have a criteria. Okay. So he's got to have a certain, maybe a certain level of education. He's got to be certain, he's got to have maybe this kind of vocation. He's got to be, you have your criteria already, even for the person that you want to marry. So the same thing as we buy cars, as we shop for a potential spouse, whatever the case might be, we have certain criteria. Well, there's a criteria that you use in order to test the decisions that you're going to make. And today I want to go over with you just the very first one. The first one, I'm going to follow the acrostic of the word SMART. That's why the series is called Making Smart Choices. But the first one is for the letter S. And S stands for Scripture. Does it pass the Scripture test? Does it pass the Scripture test? And this is so critical because you have to ask yourself the question, okay, does it meet God's conditions in the Word? This might seem elementary, but it's not, because there's so many believers that make decisions and never once consult what the Bible says. They make decisions based on what their neighbor thinks. They make decisions based on what their middle school classmates think. They make decisions based on what their parents think, or what caretaker, neighbor, someone else, close friend. They make all these decisions, but they never once look to God's word. I'm telling you, you got to change that. You got to start saying the most important piece, resource that I have to make a good decision is what God's word says. What does God's word say about this situation? So all of a sudden, you know how decisions come about. You have a decision. Where am I going to, maybe go to school? Where am I going to, perhaps what career am I going to make? What do I do in this situation at work? And you might have 5 or 6 different options. So all of a sudden, when you incorporate God's word as one of the tests, it might right off the bat eliminate 3 of your decisions. So instead of all of a sudden things becoming so difficult, why? Because I got 5 choices. Now, guess what? God's word just eliminated the last 3. So now you're contending with just 2 choices. Makes life easier, doesn't it? So you incorporate and you involve God's word in as you make decisions. Okay, and so it's important what the public thinks, but not nearly as important what God thinks. What does God think about this situation? What does God think about this matter? So ask yourself the opinion. You know, what options do I have that are in harmony with God's word? The Bible says, God's word is a lamp unto my feet, and it's a light unto my path. It brings me clarity. Now, some of you guys live in your house long enough where if you were to shut off the lights, you know how to navigate yourself around. Right? I mean, I know I do. I know that when I shut off the lights or whatever, I know how many steps it takes to get to bed. I don't count them. It's just something I do so often. Okay, the lights are off. Okay, go here. Turn there. Sit down here. Get in the cover this way. I'm good. Good as gold, right? Because you have it already figured out because you're in your house so often. But see, what happens is it doesn't take into account when you have kids. See, and when you have kids and they leave toys around, have you ever stepped on a toy in the dark? Ooh, Legos, those little boogers hurt, man. Okay, you step on those things or matchbox cars or whatever accessories they are for your Barbie dolls. And it's like, wow, I'm not going to turn those lights on ever again. Okay, turn the lights off. And so all of a sudden, God created the cell phone with the flashlight. Right, and now all of a sudden it's cool because on your phone, that's what I set up to, my alarm is set up on there, but you just turn it on and it lights my path. Guess what? That's what God's word does. God's word, it lights your path so where you know where you're going. You want to know where you're going. You want to know where the decision is going to take you. God's word will tell you exactly where you're going. Now, God's word tells us generally, okay, it illuminates things generally, but it also illuminates things specifically. I remember, I haven't been there in a while, years ago when I used to go to the Everglades. I used to go to the Everglades, go hunting, and you have to go in there in the middle of the night. You're out there by, 8th Street, Turner River Road, where there's the middle of nowhere, okay? And to get to your deer hunting destination, you got to go when it's pitch dark. In fact, people tell you, don't turn on the flashlight because the deer will see you. Deer will see you. It's over, brother. It's over. It's over. You'll never get them. So you could do that on days where there was a full moon. Because the full moon would light the trail and you would just follow the full moon. That's the general light. But here's what happened is that the full moon lit up the night, but it didn't give you a precise light. And all of a sudden what happens is that on a couple of occasions, I ran right into one of those like banana spider webs. I mean, these are big guys. I mean, it gives me the heebie-jeebies when you think about it. Okay. And so all of a sudden I'm walking. Whoa, and you got this whole thing and you get all over you and you feel something crawling and I'm screaming like a little girl almost. Never mind catching the deer. I'm being attacked. Okay? Forget about the deer. There goes that hunt. Okay. But then also I said, this thing works with the moonlight, but the moonlight doesn't illuminate everything. What illuminates everything is a high-powered flashlight. So all of a sudden I got, that's where I think my fetish came about collecting flashlights. I got like 20 million flashlights. Boom, you just put them on. It could illuminate you for a mile, specific light. General light. Okay, it lights your surroundings, specific light. It lights specifically where you want to go. See, God's word does both of those things. It gives you general illumination over subjects and subject matter, but it also gives you direct illumination. It tells you what's moral, what isn't moral, what are wise choices. You look at the book of Proverbs and you see how to run your business. You look in the book of Ephesians, it tells you how to treat your wife, how to, how you should live together as a married couple, how to raise children. I mean, all those things are specific. It gives you very specific teachings and instruction in certain areas. And so I need God's word. So what is the first rule that I'm going to apply? The first test that I'm going to subject my decisions to, it's got to pass the scripture test. See, because if you ignore the laws of God, then the laws of God are going to break you. God put those laws there for your safety. It's not because he wants to cramp your style. It's not because he's up there in heaven, look at him, making him go through a hard time and look at him suffer. Praise God. No, he's not. No, listen. God wants what's best for us. But what happens is with us, with our limited knowledge, we don't always understand what's best. We think we know what's best, but I want him because he's got money. He drives a fancy car. Yes, but he's going to beat you. But he's going to mistreat you. But he's going to cheat on you. But I want it. Understand what you're getting yourself into. Because God's word illuminates for me the steps that I need to take. And if I ignore them, then I do so at my own peril. So what does God's word say about this? They're there. God's rules, God's instruction are there, not for his benefit. God doesn't benefit from his commands. They're there for our benefit. They're there because they provide us a certain level of safety. Now, this is important, and I'm going to end with this. Just because you don't understand something doesn't mean that you don't obey it when it comes to God's word. There's a lot of things in God's word that if you try to interpret it in light of today's secular and natural mind, it might become offensive to you. But you can't do that. You have to understand that spiritual things are discerned spiritually and understood spiritually. And that may mean that even though you are spiritual, that you still may not understand it all. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean you can't benefit from obeying it. I don't understand, I don't understand the law of aerodynamics. Right? I don't understand aerodynamics. I don't understand. When I look at a plane, 200 tons. How can a 200-ton 747, how can it not just get off the ground? How can it even move? In my natural mind, I'm like, how in the world? It just baffles my mind. But listen, the fact that it baffles my mind, okay, doesn't mean that I'm never going to get on it because I don't understand it. I'm going to jump on the next plane. If it's a 747, so be it. I don't need to understand it. So all of a sudden you have a ship that weighs 200,000 tons of iron and steel. How could this thing float? I don't know, but the fact that I don't understand it doesn't mean that I can't get on it and enjoy a cruise. So what am I saying? I'm saying just because you don't understand things like tithing, things like sex outside of marriage, things of that nature, just because you don't understand things doesn't mean that if you don't obey them, there's not a blessing with it. If you obey it, even though you don't understand it, I assure you, God will bless you. I don't understand electricity. I've told you this several times. But I don't need to understand it in order to benefit from it. Turn on the lights, turn on the microwave, turn on my gas range or whatever. Man, we benefit from it all the time. I have no idea how it works. No idea. But just because you don't understand it doesn't mean that you won't be blessed by it or benefit from it by obeying it. So you obey it. So the first step in discerning God's will, discerning God's choice as you make decisions is it has to pass the scripture test. What does God's word say about this? And that means that I have to become a person that knows what the word says. How is it that as believers, okay, you know who Brad Pitt is married to more. I don't know who it is anymore. Okay, sorry, I'm dating myself. Okay, how is it that you know all these local celebrities? You know where they're going on concert. You know where they're going to be. I mean, you know all about them, but yet you mention a name in the Bible. You're like, who? How is it that you know all the stats of all the football players and basketball players, and you know everything about them, but then when we tell you about the Apostle Paul, who's that? Paul? Oh, yeah, I think he's a great guy somewhere. How is it that you don't know these things? Okay, you got to know the word. We know so many things about the things that everyday life that maybe doesn't amount to one thing or the next. Get in the word. Get into the word so that you can make great choices that will set you up for a future of success and honor and respect, because that's what God wants for you. And he's given us the outline on how to do it. Let me ask you to stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Samuel Chadwick, 19th century famous Wesleyan preacher, says, "I have guided my life by the Bible for more than 60 years, and I tell you, there is no book like it. It is the miracle of literature, a perennial spring of wisdom, a wonder of surprises, a revelation of mystery, an infallible guide of conduct, an unspeakable source of comfort. Pay no attention to people who discredit it, for I tell you, they speak without knowledge. It is the infallible word of God himself. Study it according to its own direction. Live by its principles. Believe its message. Follow its precepts. No man is uneducated who knows the Bible, and no one is wise who is ignorant of his teachings." Pretty strong stuff. Pretty strong stuff. Today, Lord, we want to have your word guide our lives. Just close your eyes with me. And Lord, we know that our lives are filled with decisions that we need to make. Some decisions that seem very innocuous and innocent, and some that are quite important. Where do we live? Do we move out of this area? Do we change schools? Do we change careers? Do I leave someone that I've been in a relationship with for so long? Today, Lord, I pray that you would give us a commitment to doing things your way. Lord, at the end of the day, we are all going to be influenced and guided by something in our decision making. May that something be the eternal truth of your written word. Lord, forgive us for being so easily swayed by pop culture, by societal norms, and maybe looking at your word as a final option. I pray, Lord, that we would make your word the primary, the go-to source when we're seeking wisdom and making good decisions. Help us to make wise choices with our lives. In the simple little things is how we manage money, as well as how we treat people, how we deal with our bosses, how we deal with employees, how we deal with government and government officials, and everything else, Lord, that makes up our everyday lives. We thank you, Lord, because you can be trusted, because your word has stood the test of time. We pray, Lord, that we'd be faithful to it. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for having joined us today for this impacting message. I trust that God has touched your life through it and stirred in you a renewed passion for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Lord is faithful, and he wants to touch your life in a powerful way. He alone can meet your deepest needs and give your life meaning, no matter what situation you may be in right now. So be encouraged, friend. Trust him, and be assured that I will be praying for you. If you are in the Miami area and do not have a home church, why don't you come out and join us? We are near the Tamiami Airport in Kendall and located at 12236 Southwest 128th Street. Our service times are Sundays at 9 a.m. in Spanish and 11 a.m. in English. God bless you. I look forward to meeting you soon.
Well, thank you for being with us. You've been listening to Pastor Dennis Penton and the audio ministry of Pure Heart Christian Center. It is our prayer that this message has been a challenge to your heart and your life. If you would like prayer, please call the church office at 305-969-7873. We would love to have the opportunity to connect with you in prayer. For more information about us, visit our website, www.pureheartchristian.org. And also, while you're on Facebook, make sure you visit us at the Pure Heart Christian Center page and click on Like Us. Until next time, may God's Spirit bless you mightily.